This is Camel Call Live, brought to you by the Fighting Camel Club and coming to you live from Napper Tandy's Public House in downtown Anger. Great food, great drinks, tons of TVs, and fantastic service. Napper Tandy's located just 8 miles away from the Campbell campus. And you can reach them online at nappertandyspublichouse.com and on Instagram at nappertandysanger. My name is Chris Amire. We've got a great show for you tonight, along with a visit from Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris. It's a basketball preview as we are just 11 days from the start of college basketball season. Both of our basketball teams will start on the road, but we will have a home opening doubleheader on November 9th as our men's team will take on Western Michigan at 12:30 on Sunday, followed by the women at 3 o'clock. This is part of a big weekend as volleyball earlier that weekend will take on Northeastern on Friday the 7th. By the way, our Campbell volleyball team continues to roll. They are in third place in the CAA standing, 6-2 in conference, and 14-5 overall. And also in that big weekend, 2 weekends from now, our football team will be back in action against rival William and Mary at 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th. This weekend, our football team makes the hour-and-a-half journey to take on NCANT in a CAA matchup. And joining me now is Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris. Coach, as we take a look back at that homecoming game, I know you won't make this excuse, so I'll point out a couple things for you. You were without your starting quarterback. You had 3 opening days starting wide receivers not in uniform, and your 4th one got hurt early in the game, and that really had an effect on your offense.
You always like the opportunity to play with the team that you recruited and play with the team that you put together to start the season. Rarely in college football does it work out that way. You don't always get that opportunity when you're week 9 in a season to be able to go do that, and we got to be able to find ways to be able to overcome that. We had opportunities to win the ball game in the 4th quarter. The big block field goal was a big momentum swing for us. Got to be able to take advantage of those and be able to go move the football as an offense in the 4th quarter and whatever it takes. And, taking Mike and putting him at quarterback doesn't hurt us because Mike's really a good athlete in that spot. But what it did take away, it took away the ability for us to be able to throw the ball out on the perimeter, to be able to stretch people vertically and laterally, which opens up your run game, which we had done such a good job of the week before against Hampton.
We mentioned he went down early, looked like at least a pretty serious injury with Barry Tate. Can you tell us how he's doing?
Barry had a broken leg, and it was a clean break, and so that's the best kind of break is what I'm told. Obviously, I'm a dumb football coach, so they don't ask my opinions on those things. But they said it was a clean break, and they put a plate in there to be able to fuse that back together, and it's a 3-month healing process, and he went home to be with his family. He came in the building on Sunday, wanted to stop by and see us before he went back home. And that kid will be back better than ever when it comes up next spring.
Yeah, he is just so fast. It's one of those things, how does a 5'7 guy get on a Division I football field when you are as fast as he is? Just incredible what he has added to your team and how good he got at the wide receiver position this year.
Yeah, he really worked his tail off. You know, he did it in the springtime in the weight room when nobody's watching to be able to continue to be able to be strong enough to be able to play at that size. It's always tough, right? But being able to take his size and what he's put into it and the work in the weight room and in the spring ball and the summer, you always hate to see injuries like that because so much work goes into 12 opportunities. When you take some of those 12 opportunities away from people, that's a big deal.
Coach, I really thought your defense held up for 3 quarters there. They had a bend but don't break mentality, holding New Hampshire to just 3 field goals and some change through the first 3 quarters. They did a lot to keep you in the game early.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think our defense is in the top 30 as far as in rushing defense in the nation right now. In the top 2 or 3 in the CAA, that tells you how good the CAA is. You're in the top 30 and you're not in the 1 or 2 of the CAA right now.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think they've done a really good job. I thought our kids have played with so much more confidence the last couple of weeks. You look at what they put together at Hampton. And then what they put together last week. And, you know, that's one of the things we talk about as a team. We don't ever have offensive goals and defensive goals. We have team goals. And the reason is because each week may take something different. It was a month ago when we were having a shootout against Bryant in double overtime that it took one stop on a 4th and 2 on a 2-point try. And then this week we needed a stop towards the end to be able to get one more stop to keep them out of the end zone. And we got to be able to get those things. And we got to be able to work together because no two football games are created the same. And we've got to be able to respond as a team and work together in what it takes.
You know, two, your defense, 5 of 14 on third down, yeah. but 4 of 6 on fourth down. It yeah. just seemed like you did everything you had to do, and then they would make a play at fourth down.
Yeah, you go back and look at second downs, right? We had a couple second longs that we should have kept made to third and longs, but they became third and manageables that turned into fourth and manageables. And so all that sequence goes together. When you're playing a good team like New Hampshire, I mean, New Hampshire was a playoff team last year. And that's what people need to understand is that that's a good football team coming in there. Throw the records out the window. CAA football, every week you're going to get a good football team that knows how to win. And that's what we're trying to be able to learn in that spot. But we needed a couple more stops on some opportunities to keep them off the field. That swings some field position that puts us in a better spot.
Coach, the final score was 24-10, but those that weren't there, this was a one-score game. Yeah. All you had to do, you had to go for it deep in your own territory late in the game to try to win the game, and they tacked one more on. We had talked about it, and you talked about it too. New Hampshire, not only were they in the playoffs last year, they were in the playoffs 2 years before that, and also this is a team that in the last 20 years has been to the playoffs 16 times. They've been to the quarterfinals 9 times. They were back-to-back semifinalists in 2013 and 2014. This was a CAA football blue blood that you went toe-to-toe with for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to hear what you said and say, Chris, that was 2013, that was 2014, right? That's 10 years ago. But what that is, that's 10 years of history. That's 10 years of tradition. That's 10 years of being able to win in that spot. And when you're a part of something that wins that long, you don't think anything else. You're just the next group that comes along. It's a mindset and it's a belief. And what we're trying to build here at Campbell is that mindset, right? We don't have the 20 years of history to be able to fall back on when things happen. We're trying to make our own history in that spot, right? And everybody says, well, that is what it is. But, man, that's what we're trying to overcome, right? We're trying to overcome a mindset and a belief that you can be able to win those ball games. They've got 20 years of history to be able to do it. We've got less than 20 years of playing football altogether in that spot. And when you're building, that's the biggest thing that you got to overcome. It's not the roster. It's the mindset and believing that you can before you have. Right. Everybody can believe once you have. Not very many can believe before it happens. And that's what we're asking our guys. That's what our coaches are doing. That's what we're building a program on. What we can do, not what we have done in that spot. Right. Many believe in what they have done. It's easy to believe in that because they saw it. Right. We haven't seen it, but we still believe because we see it in the actions of our kids every single day.
What has to be outstanding for you, and I know you and the guys are just this close in not getting the wins, but the fact that the guys are practicing hard this deep into the season. We'll talk about it. You haven't had a bye week yet. You won't have one for 2 weeks. There's been some close losses, but they come to work. The belief is there in the building, and you really can see it, can't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, just look at the progress of this team from week one. We go play a Rhode Island team that we gave up a lot of explosive passes, and then we struggled with that in Furman. Then you look at how well we've done well on the last couple weeks. So you look how our defense has evolved and gotten better in those situations, right? You look at how we're stopping the run and the physicality and how hard that defense is playing. We're not giving things up. We're early in the season, we had some miscues where we had misalignments and things like that hurt us. We're not having those things. You look how our offense is involved. You look at the start of the season, we couldn't do diddly squat running the football. We had to throw the football out there to be able to get anything in that spot. And this is a team that 2 weeks ago against Hampton rushed for 301 yards, right? And our running backs are running better. So you look at where we started this thing, and there's no question about it. We've gotten better in the 9 weeks. Is it good enough? No, it's not good enough. We're still 2-6 in that spot. But can you see the progress? We can see it every day. If you come to Barker Lane Stadium and watch for yourself, you can see that progress, and that's what we're trying to continue to focus on in those moments.
You have another challenge. Your next opponent is NC A&T on the road this Saturday at 1 p.m. don't let the record fool you. This is a team that has lost 4 one-score games, including at Maine and at William & Mary, 2 very good CAA teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's another CAA football game. So you can throw all those records out. They don't mean jack. I mean, every week you're going to have to play football. Every week you're going to have to play it the right way. Every week you're going to have to do your job. That's the biggest thing I would say is the difference about this league than other leagues I've been a part of. There's no circle on a schedule and say this is an easy one. We just show up and roll the ball out. That team is a one-win team, and they're the same team on film that you see as a New Hampshire, as you see as a Rhode Island, and that's the thing, and that's what it's mind-boggling, but That's the difference between winning and losing. It's so small, and that's the urgency we got to be able to get done. So reality is if they got CAA on their chest, they're a good football team, and we got to be able to go play.
What does this NCAA and TAGI team do well?
Yeah, they're really athletic, right? They came off of a bye week. They got a brand-new coaching staff, right? This is their first year. They have a quarterback. They played 6 different quarterbacks. The one that they're playing right now is kind of their guy. He got hurt in the springtime, so he was kind of getting injured, getting recovered at the start of the season, and he's their guy. He was their guy from the get-go, and he's able to make some things go with his arm and with his legs. And then on defense, they fly around and play fast in that spot. And so I know I've been in Coach Gibbs' spot over there. They're coming off a bye. They've pumped those guys full of belief. They tell them Campbell's the game that we're going to get right. If we can go win this one, this puts us in a good spot in the CAA play and shows our progress. And so that team's going to come in, and they're going to be ready to play. They're going to believe in everything they're doing in that spot.
Coach, you and I have been doing this for a long time. I will tell you, I've been part of some seasons where the bye week was later than the last Halloween weekend in October. Believe it or not, back in the PFL days, Coach Steele had a couple of bye weeks after they had played all of their games. That's Pioneer Football League for right. You, so it is a little bit later, but this has been oh so late. First, tell me how that has hurt you guys, and then how it really might be something that is an advantage for you when you look at the last 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how it hurts us, I don't know. We haven't had time to sit around and think about that stuff, right, because we can't control that aspect. But the schedule was done long before any of us, and I don't get to pick the bye. That's just football, right, and that's life. The schedule is what the schedule is. What I'm really excited about is how it hits right now. We've still got some guys that are injured and out. If we can go get – the goal is to get to 3-2 in CAA play this week. If we can get to 3-2 in CAA play, we can get healed up in that bye week, and then we get 3 games, and 2 out of the 3 are at home right there, that we get the opportunity to go compete and have the best record in CAA that Campbell's ever had, right? And you say, how do you do that? Man, that's still out there for us, right? We still got a lot to play for. We've lost some opportunities, but that doesn't mean there's not opportunities that are in front of us. And so the exciting thing is if we can get to 3-2 this week, and that's all we're talking about, get to 3-2, get to 3-2, get to 3-2, and then we can heal up. If we can heal up and rest physically, mentally, and spiritually rest, man, the cool thing is we got a 3-game season. We got no pressure. We get to let it rip and go play 3 football games, and they're against 3 blue bloods. Here's the deal. We want to beat a blue blood. We want to beat a CAA team that's been here for a long time because we want to show that we belong in the CAA, right? And we get that opportunity coming off the bye. So the reality, I think the schedule makers out there, this is awesome. We get a chance to be able to heal up week 10 of the season, and then we get 3 games to let it rip, and I'm excited to see our guys do that. But none of that matters because we got to get to 3-2.
Well, and with the way the schedule is, I'm glad you said it because I've been reminding people too. Look, 2-2 in the CAA with the chance to go 3-2
right
into a bye week. 2 of the last 3 at home.
Right
now, finally, the schedule. If you can get the win at NCAA and a big task going on the road anytime, yeah. But then all of a sudden you're like, okay, the schedule finally helps us out.
Well, and the opportunity, the exciting thing is to get to 2 out of 3 at home. We've had tremendous crowds at Barker Lane Stadium. I mean, the student section this last week, that whole section of the Creek Freaks was over there, was packed. Barker Lane Stadium has been electric this fall. That's one of the things that's been most disappointing. We've had, I think, 3 one-score losses at home that, man, if you can get those wins, you really get some momentum. But it's been phenomenal. Our student engagement has been through the roof, exciting to be able to see. The exciting thing is if we can come back and finish with those two games at home, we can be able to start to build some things that we win at home. We want to make Barker Lane a hard place for people to come and play, and I think it has been. We got to be able to finish it off on our end. So that's the exciting thing.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time during this busy week to be here, and we will see you on Saturday.
Sounds good.
That is Campbell head coach Braxton Harris. Three more CAA games after the bye next week. We'll be home against William & Mary on November 8th, and we'll take on Elon on November 15th. Because of the Thanksgiving break on the fourth Thursday, our last Camel call of the calendar year will be in 2 weeks on November 6th. We're going to have Coach here to preview the final weeks of the season. And this Saturday, if you can't make it to Greensboro, we will be on the air at 12:30 with live audio play-by-play from NCA&T's Truist Stadium. It'll be on the Varsity Network app, GoCamels.com, and on the Fighting Camel app. And every time we have the show, we've got a lot of free tickets to give out tonight, so we are going to give out a four-pack of tickets to one of our final two games. So get out your raffle tickets. We're looking for 931-693-931-693, and we've got basketball tickets to give out later today. Speaking of basketball, head coach Ronnie Fisher will be our guest when we come back. Thank you for joining us. This is Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. Oh, welcome back into Camel Call Live. I want to tell you about the Orange Tie Gala. It is Campbell Athletics' annual signature event to help support our student athletes. It's going to be a casino night this year, and it's at the downtown Raleigh Marriott on Friday, November 14th. So in addition to live casino games and dueling pianos, we'll have food, drinks, and we'll be auctioning off some great items, including, get this, tickets to the men's basketball Final Four, the national championship. It's back in Indianapolis this year, and tickets to the FCS championship game in college football, plus so much more. Tickets and details at GoCamels.com. There is an Orange Tie Gala button at the top. And speaking of basketball, we are so very excited. It's the best time of the year. Every sport's playing. And basketball season in the college game just 11 days away. A week from Monday, the Campbell women's basketball team will begin their season on the road in New Orleans, Louisiana, taking on Tulane. 2 weeks from tonight, they are at Charlotte. And on Sunday, November 9th at 3 p.m. in the second half of our doubleheader, they will host Virginia Lynchburg. And joining me now in his 10th season at the helm, three-time Coach of the Year, two-time regular season champion in his trophy case, and a WNIT appearance and a win last year. He is, of course, Ronnie Fisher. And, Coach, this close to the beginning of the season, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, well, I feel behind right now. It's a great, like you mentioned, it's a great time of year. What an atmosphere at homecoming Saturday. And the football team, man, they battled. It was a great game, tailgated, and just a beautiful day, and a lot going on this time of year. We're glad to kick it off with the basketball as well.
10 years, you know, I sort of gauge my time here. This is starting season number 15 for me. It's looking at the coaches, little kids that are not so little. I hear about you. I think you got everybody married off these past couple of summers, and that 10 years in the creek, does it feel like that to you?
It really doesn't. It really is flown by, and Julie and I, we've enjoyed it so much. We chose to come to Campbell because of the people and the opportunity here, and it hasn't disappointed one day. And I think I said this at Creek Madness last week, there's no other place I'd rather be, and we love where we are and the opportunity we have to work with our players, and it's been a blessing.
You also celebrated an anniversary. You've been in the marriage game longer than you have the basketball game, haven't you?
Well, no, not really. I think I've been in the basketball game 35 years and the marriage game 32. But I've enjoyed the marriage game much more than the basketball game. So that was a good answer with my wife sitting over there. So.
Definitely. You know, I know how to do this as well. Yeah. As well. So, all right, basketball season, and boy, what a way to start the season. You will be on the road against Tulane, and then later that week, opening week, you'll be in Charlotte. That's a lot. But then you come home, you take a breath against Virginia Lynchburg, but then you take on Western Carolina at home. You are back out on the road. You go to Chicago for a tournament where you'll probably end up playing DePaul. And then you go on the road again for a tournament in Jacksonville over Thanksgiving. What will this challenging road-heavy schedule do for you and your team?
Well, sometimes I don't like to think about it, to be honest with you, but it's a very difficult schedule, and it's going to get us battle-tested. And we're going to know exactly what we need to work on after every game, and that's the whole key. And what's cool about it is I have a group of players, one of the youngest teams I've ever had, but they're looking forward to it, and they're preparing to win against teams that are paying us to play. So we're excited about it, and we'll learn something from every practice and every game, and it all points toward the conference and that conference tournament. And we got a taste of what it was like last year, and we want to get back. So it's all designed to get to that point again.
Well, I think it says something, too, that in this short time in the conference, you have built up a reputation of how tough your team is. Your team picked to finish fourth in the CAA this season. And you return such a fantastic core. Gianni Boone, your leading scorer, is back. She nabbed preseason All-CAA first team. That is an accomplishment when we're talking about 14 teams. She will also join three from your fantastic freshman class last year who are now sophomores in Jasmine Felton, Sierra Alexander, and Olivia Tucker. That's a pretty darn good core to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I say this every day. It's such a blessing in today's landscape that a player comes into your office and says, Coach, I want to come back. And it means so much that those players, because they're very good players, and they've decided, I don't want to go into the portal. I don't want to go to the top dollar. I want to stay at Campbell University. And really proud of that. I love the kids that we have coming back. We were missing a few good pieces from last year. But they're battling, and I want to go to war with them. They're a good group.
Well, and let's go back to that. Doesn't that say something? Look, you weren't able to match some of these offers that your fantastic freshmen got. They chose to come here not because they didn't get any offers anywhere else.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing, we have an amazing staff of coaches, and I love our coaching staff. They understand the type of player that is going to be successful at Campbell and in our program. And we've brought kids that are a lot alike, and they like each other. I don't think they're staying because of me, but they don't want to leave each other. And that's a really cool thing. And we just need to continue to really target the right athlete that's talented but also fits with the culture we're trying to create.
You know, you also return not only that core, but so many other pieces that helped you off the bench. Hadley Dill, Jessica Woods, Emerson Thompson, Michaela Taborn are all key reserves that are back as well. And you add to that by bringing in three freshmen. You got one from Apex, you got one from Raleigh, and you got one from the country of Switzerland. Tell me how a Swiss basketball player found their way to Buies Creek.
Yeah, Nakanate is her name, and she's a 6'3 post player from Switzerland, but she was playing in the States at Winston-Salem Christian School, and had a good friend that coaches there that called us about her, and she's going to be a great player, but she's even a better kid. She's amazing. She speaks four languages, and one of the smartest players on our team. And she just makes everybody better from being around her. She's got a really electric personality, and really excited about her. And then Keaton Rickard is another player out of Raleigh who is walking on for us this year, but she's adding a lot to our team. And then we have another guard out of Apex that you mentioned, Jasmine Navarre. She has a chance to be special. And she fits right in the mix with those three freshmen we had last year. And I think she'll vie as one of the best freshmen we've had here.
Wow.
So it's exciting, and I just have to grow them up. But they're learning, they're listening, and I love the talent. Also, the players that you mentioned that are coming back, I'm excited to have Hadley and Jess and Paris, you know, she missed last season with an ACL.
Yeah.
She's back. So I'm anxious for those players to play a much bigger role than they did last year. Emerson Thompson, Michaela Taborn. And there's opportunity for playing time there, and I'm hoping they're going to step in there and really help us as well.
With so many coming back, you really keep the identity of a team that was so good last year, earning a bye in the CAA tournament because what they put together in an unbelievable regular season, fighting for the regular season title. You get all the way to the CAA tournament championship game, come up just a little bit short. Is that something that feeds this group that has come back and come together? Is that something there's so long between now and March, but is that something that's fueling you guys a little bit?
Well, I think the first thing it does is, like, you really don't know if you can do it until you do it. Okay, I know that sounds – but we got there last year. So now we don't come into this season saying, man, I wonder what it's like to get to a CAA championship. We come in saying, hey, we know the recipe here, all right, and we can do this. So I love the confidence that's created. But you can't really worry about that right now. We've got to worry about tomorrow's practice, and we've got to worry about Charlotte. And that's – I'm sorry, we got to worry about Tulane, and that's all that's on our mind right now. And that's how we did it last year. And there's such a thin line between winning and losing. I think last year we won like six games where we were behind going into the fourth quarter. So we have to just take it game by game and learn from those things and get better. But, yes, we know we can do it. We just have to put some games together.
Coach, you have done such a good job of bringing people in and keeping people here. People forget student athletes could still transfer back in the pre-NIL and transfer for portal era. When you are talking to these recruits, some that are close to home, some that are, you know, a continent away, you've done so great, your international recruiting as well. What are you selling with this program and with Campbell?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things, and I really sell them on exactly what brought me here. Is number one is the people here are amazing, and you're going to be cared for. And the academic degree will prepare you for any graduate school you want to go into, and you have a chance to come in and compete for a championship every year. And you know, I tell them that, but the most important thing is when I bring them on campus and they spend time with our players, and they see exactly who they are, and that's what sells the place. Not just the players, but we have a really special group that really cares about each other, and we set high standards in their owners. They're not renters. And I remember talking to Justin Hare about that before he left, about ownership versus renting, and our players have bought into that, so they want to be a part of that same culture.
The community has bought in as well. People know you now after a decade. You're going to have a team that's really going to get after it on defense. But offensively, you have changed some things. You have taken things from all over. Sometimes it looks like you're running and gunning, the transition from defense to offense. Talk about your style of play. It is really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, we were able last year to bring in some players that had really good speed. And it's not rocket science here. We played a lot faster last year, partly because that was our style, but partly because we have team speed. And that's something we did much better last year than we have in the past. I've always wanted to play fast, but we kind of recruited to it last year. You know, we've been pretty good defensively for 9 years, but I think last year we finished – third in the league in points allowed and third in the league in points scored. And that creates that differential that we're looking for. So I think our first year we held people to 49 points a game, but we didn't score but about 53, I think. So
yep.
It's a little better. They scored 58 last year, but we got 65 or 66. So that's – we want to keep being good in both ends of the floor, but playing fast is something our kids enjoy and we've committed to.
Well, Coach, we are so excited to watch you all again. Much anticipated this season. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and good luck in New Orleans in just about 11 days.
Thank you, Chris.
He is head coach Ronnie Fisher. His Camels are at home on November 9th, part of the doubleheader, the men's-women's doubleheader. One ticket gets you in for both, and then – staying at home. They will take on Western Carolina on the 12th. Tickets at GoCamels.com. Season mini plans and single game tickets are on sale now. When we come back, new Campbell Headmen's basketball coach John Andershek will give you a preview of our men's team. But first, we will give away another set of basketball tickets. This is for the home opener on Sunday, the 9th. Men take on Western Michigan at 12:30. The women will follow at 3. 931-681. 931-681. We will be back to talk some men's basketball when we get back after the break. This is Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in Anger. Oh, welcome back into Camel Call Live. We invite you to join the team behind the team. The Fighting Camel Club helps our student athletes compete in the CAA, both in the classroom and on the court field. Matt Diamond and the pool. For more information, GoCamels.com. Our Campbell men's basketball team will open up the season a week from Monday at 24th-ranked Wisconsin. Then they take on another Power 4 opponent on November 6th when they travel to West Virginia, and they'll finally be back home in a couple of Sundays. The home opener on November 9th, it's a good one, 12:30 on a Sunday versus Western Michigan. At the helm in his first season with Campbell is head coach John Andershek. And, Coach, you have a lot of applause here because you are undefeated still as a Campbell head coach. So how are you feeling as you get ready for your first game as Campbell's head man?
May it continue forever. the season's right around the corner. I mean, it felt like it was months and months away, and we were always just in the planning sort of hypothetical stage, and now we're here, you know, and number 24 in the country, I would say, is a tough one for a debut. But we're building toward it. And for me, like, what I care about as a coach, we're really process over result. You know, every day we're focused on self-improvement and trying to assess the things that we're not as good as we want to be at and get better at our weaknesses. And so for me, like, going into those games, I want to play good. I want to play well. Like, that's the most important thing, and we'll see what that means. If we come out of the Madison game and playing well means losing by 8, I can live with that, you know. But I also believe that if we play well in all those, you know, 6 Power 5 road games, I think we'll have a chance to maybe steal one, you know. So that we're just keeping it one day at a time, trying to have good practices. I can tell you this, I really like the vibes of this group. They're working hard. They're coming together. They believe in each other. They like being around each other, which is really important on and off the court. And I think it's a team that's pretty determined to reach its potential, and that's all you really want as a coach.
You know, you mentioned it. You guys are going to be tested. We mentioned you opened up the year with 2 Big Ten teams, but not too far after that you play 2 more Big Ten teams. You'll be at Penn State. You'll be at Minnesota. You go to Wake Forest out of the ACC the week of Thanksgiving. And then you don't play a Power 4 team, but, oh, by the way, they're one of the best teams in the nation with Gonzaga as you go out and take on the Zags, another nationally recognized team. So how and why did this tough road schedule come together for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is it's really important to test our team. I think you get better by being in those environments and playing elite competition that have very strong strengths, and they'll tell us a lot about our group and what we need to get better at, what we need to put more time into. And so the hope is that will help prepare us for the league. You know, the other piece is there are some financial components to college athletics now.
Absolutely.
And particularly college basketball, and those games can assist in that area.
Also, too, I do know this, you wanted to play some games a lot closer to home, but I think there were 100 teams that you reached out to, and many of them, not knowing what you would bring here to the Creek and then seeing who you brought to the Creek, said, no, thank you, you're not coming.
Yeah, scheduling was really challenging, like more challenging than I ever expected. And some of that, to the defense of some of those teams, some of that was getting the job late, or at least getting up here late after the NCAA tournament run was done. But also there were a number of teams, especially in our backyard, that just for whatever reason didn't want to play, either had a full schedule, thought we were going to be good, whatever it may be. And so that's how you end up going to Minnesota and going to the state of Washington and traveling all around the country to play.
Hey, it's also, though, I want to let everybody know, because it came together late, but we have one of the best home schedules that we've ever had in the history of men's basketball. It is awesome. We open up at home with the MAC team, Western Michigan. Ball State, another MAC team, will be here. Green Bay will be here, both those teams in December. And, of course, the CAA schedule. Northeastern is here at home this year, UNCW, Charleston, and others. So that tough non-conference schedule, that'll get you ready for when you get into tough CAA play, won't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it has definitely helped the intensity and the urgency of our practices. I mean, some of the people here, they've been to our practices. We go hard. We go for a good amount of time. We play 5-on-5. We work on rebounding, being physical. And a lot of that comes from the urgency, just comes from our guys know what they're getting into. They know we are about to play some of the best teams in the country. They know we're going to have strong mid-majors coming in our gym. And so it's a little bit, you know, you got to figure it out. You know, we know that we need to be at a certain level going into November if we want to have a good year.
So after your successful March Madness run with Florida, of course, it ended up with you as a Florida assistant coach cutting down the nets in San Antonio. You go there from Campbell. So it was a good reason that you got to Buies Creek a little bit late. You were still obviously working for Campbell's stuff. But by the time you got here, you had four players left on your team. Some good ones. Cam Gregory, Israel Yaw, Brock Bidwell, Tassos Cook. So tell me what it took to get all of the other players to fill in your roster. What did it take recruiting-wise? A frantic couple of months, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it really starts with trying to re-recruit your own players. So I sat down with all the Campbell kids from the previous staff, talked about what their goals were for the upcoming season, what they wanted to accomplish in their careers. And I was really tickled to get back the four that we got back. And Tassos Cook has already been named a captain for our team. He's done a great job running with the leadership. He's about the right stuff. His teammates love him, and he's got enough of that deal where he's like willing to hold his teammates accountable. He knows what our standards are, and he's willing to let guys know when they're falling a little short. So he's already got a little soft spot in my heart, and to be honest, I think he's in position to play more minutes this year than I really expected.
Wow.
Back in April.
Yep.
when he made the decision to come back. Cam Gregory's also doing really well. He's been shooting it great in practice, which has always kind of been his thing to make a jump to the next level, and he's been knocking him down when we play 5-on-5. I also like his attitude a lot. I think he's a really good kid, and he's in position to have a really nice year for us. And then Brock and Iz have tremendous attitudes. They're very, very proud to be here at Campbell. And I think that's kind of rubbed off on a lot of our transfers, a lot of our new guys that are here. So I'm really tickled to have all those four. And then beyond that, we had to put in a lot of time doing Zooms, making phone calls, doing official visits to try to put this team together. Because when we got the job, it was so late in the recruiting cycle that there weren't many freshmen still available, especially freshmen from North Carolina. You know, we tried to look in that box for a little bit, and everybody had already kind of committed or signed elsewhere, and so we had to go pretty transfer heavy, but I'm happy with the guys we brought in. I think DJ Smith from Robert Morris brings us a lot of experience. He was a starting point guard on a 27-win NCAA tournament team. He can really shoot the ball. He's quick, can get downhill. He's used to winning. Davidis Butka was preseason honorable mention in the league. I think he's a little better than that. I think he's got a chance to be an all-conference first team or second team guy. He can really score with his back to the basket. He runs the floor well. He can face up, drive from the top of the key, make skillful little plays out of short roll and stuff. And then Jeremiah Johnson has really burst on the scene. He was at Green Bay last year. They had a hard year, but he produced pretty well. He's about 11, 12 points a game as a freshman. He can really score. He's quick. He's good off the bounce. He's shooting it well for us. So I'm expecting a big year from him.
Yeah, you have mentioned a couple of these, but you got transfers, and then you got some freshmen from Lithuania, Australia, and you have someone that's been in the States for a while, but he was born and raised in Nigeria. He is 6'11", 275 pounds, and in my 14 years that I've been here, I haven't seen someone of that size step onto the court, and I tell you, he seems like he's bigger than 6'11", 275. Tell us about this freshman that we will definitely notice in the layup line.
Now, Daniel's a big boy, and he's got a great heart. He's an awesome dude, just great to be around. Guys love him. Brings good, like, positive energy. He's still a freshman. Like, we need to remember that. He's transitioning to college. He's transitioning to the United States, too. He's only been here, you know, for a couple of years so far. So he's learning our system. I think he'll probably come off the bench early. But he should help us because he has the size to be able to rebound in traffic, wall up in the post, play our style play. But it's just a learning curve. Usually freshmen come on more as the season goes on. And historically, they usually make a bigger impact once you come to January and February than at the beginning.
You told us about so many good players. Remind us of, and with this group, because I know one size doesn't fit all. When you see this group, you know what they can do. You don't know when the lights are on yet in front of a crowd and everything like that. But what is your style of play going to be this year?
Yeah, I mean, we want to play fast. So make or miss, we want to inbound the ball quickly, push it up the floor, go right back at the other team. If we can get great scoring opportunities in the first 7-8 seconds of the clock, we want to do that. But then after that, we play our ball screen motion. So we're going to play side to side, constantly trying to get downhill. We want to dominate the middle third. So the area between the lane lines, we want to be getting a lot of paint touches in there. We think that's key for our offense. And then defensively, it's about the opposite of that. So if our offense is all about getting middle, our defense is all about keeping you out of the middle, you know. So we ice ball screens on the sides. We do some switching to make it harder for teams to rip it middle, you know. But it's something that's hard to imagine as you're thinking about it now. But once you start seeing us play, we'll have a pretty defined style of play.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, you had mentioned it a little bit, and it's, you know, you've been our coach for so long now that it's hard to think about. I can't imagine what it does in your head, because in my head I'm like, wow, the last time you were in a game that counts, it was in San Antonio in front of 90,000 people, and you ended up winning it, and you're a national champion, and you cut down the net. You were here two days later than that. So how often does winning the national championship come up? Does it float in your head, or is it all seen orange right now?
Hey, keep going with it. We got about 10 more days, and then it runs out. So, no, it was an awesome run. I mean, it's something I'll remember forever. I think we're supposed to get our title rings in a couple weeks. It took a while for Florida to get it all together, but it's coming. But for me, I mean, I'm firmly planted here and excited about this team. And in some sense, I almost cringe when I hear the Florida stuff, because I'm like, it's about Campbell. You know, it's about this team and putting it together and our style of play and becoming the best we can be.
Well, Coach, we are so happy you are here. We are so happy to look at this. It's the toughest and best schedule that's ever been put together in the history of Campbell men's basketball, which, as you are finding out, it's a long and storied history. We are so glad that you are going to be the next chapter of it. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in about a week. Oh,
thank you, too. Great to be here.
Coach John Andersek, the head men's basketball coach for the Campbell team, and you will be able to see him and Coach Ronnie Fisher. It's going to be a great way to start the home season, a doubleheader in a couple of Sundays. Campbell will take on Western Michigan, and the Campbell women will play after that. The men will play first, then the women. Single game tickets went on sale today, so the whole schedule is out there. Season tickets, obviously, are still on sale. GoCamels.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us as we get ready for more Campbell football this weekend and, of course, the Campbell basketball team. Hey, I want to point out, too, Campbell men's soccer is really making a run. They will be at home this Saturday at 7 o'clock against Elon. It's a battle for first place in the South Division. Campbell has already clinched. The men's soccer team has already clinched a spot in the CAA tournament, but they could get as high as a number one seed. They could host games. They could host the championship game. Come on out. Admission is free. It'll be a great game. Elon and Campbell for first place. All of this at GoCamels.com and in your app store. Search Campbell Fighting Camels and get on the redesigned Go Camels app. Thank you so much for spending time with us. This has been Camel Call Live. For Braxton, Ronnie, and John, I'm Chris Amire saying so long and have a good night.